Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Guy Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it has blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on confounded. David said in the Psalms 22 verses 3 to 5. This is in the Psalms chapter 22. I'm reading verse 3. "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Verse 4. "Our fathers trusted in thee, and they trusted, and thou didst deliver them." Verse 5. "They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded." The word confounded in Strong's is number 954. It is a primitive root. Properly to pale, that is, by implication, to be ashamed. Also, by implication, to be disappointed or delayed. To be made or bring to cause or put to shame or be shamed. Or to be confounded or to be confused. Become dry, delayed, or be long. Only those who put their faith 100% in Him will not be confounded. Here are some signs that you are confounded already by misdirecting your faith. Number one, your appearance is pale from a fear of failure or through anxiety. Number two, feel ashamed for getting important things. Number three, disappointed when situations do not work as planned. Number four, get delayed doing important tasks or miss God's timing. Number five, put to shame through ignorance or not listening. Number six, become confused using your mind instead of asking God. Number seven, lack motivation or become spiritually dry. Number eight, experience issues that take longer to resolve or heal. It is important to get a good diagnosis spiritually. In these last days, many are looking for an easy solution to their temporal carnal lives and believe what they want to hear. A famous preacher that is dead now, living in the UK, using Psalm 22 and verse 3, wrote that the only way back to the presence of God is through praise and worship. But this is a lie. He was never challenged because he was popular, wrote books, and the church today is asleep. There is nothing can separate you from the love of God, but there is something that will always separate you from the presence of God, and that is personal sin. The only way back to His presence is to humble yourself and confess your sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading verse 34. "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 says, "Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds. And sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant, and continue to be so. lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. I say this to your shame. You will lack the presence of God because of sin. For you to sin, you have to first listen to your mind and heart instead of His instructions and decide you know better than God. You have to usurp authority over God and resist the Holy Spirit. There are two kinds of sin, the sin of commission and the sin of omission. The Spirit will be grieving when you sin. To continue, you have to be utterly, willfully, and disgracefully ignorant of who God is. Sin is not trusting God with all your heart. Only He can make all the decisions. Bad fruit, when it appears, can wake up those asleep in the body of Christ. Many do not wake up to righteousness before they fall asleep again. We read in John chapter 1, verse 10 to 15. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bore witness of Him, and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Jews should have been ready for His first coming, processing a lot of conviction. Grace came through studying the law. Under the old covenant, you had to stay humble when convicted to get the grace you needed to repent deeply. With grace and mercy, you can do anything. When Jesus came, He gave power to those who believe on His name. When you believe what He told you to do and instantly obey Him, you also believe on His name. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 16. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. God's grace and truth was available to anyone who humbled themselves through conviction. But the religious Jews made their own rules so they could fulfill the letter of the law without the need for deep repentance. They had become scholars of the law, educated, knowledgeable, wise in their own eyes, resisting conviction. Jesus brought grace and truth in His teaching to help the Jews get past their blindness and get to the root of sin, but they refused. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 47. This is Luke chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Verse 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Verse 47. and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. The Jews were not expecting a 30-year-old to have so much wisdom and knowledge. Jesus' wisdom exceeded those studying the law. At the age of 12, Jesus was confounding the religious leaders. Many assume Jesus did not go through any difficulties in his childhood. He was tempted like us in every way, and never took over the lordship, never got in the flesh, and never sinned. He was exposed to the same amount of sorrows and suffering we experience in a lifetime in just 30 years. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. Verse 4. That thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. Verse 7. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. For thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the Strong's, the word alms is number 1654, which comes from another word meaning compassionateness. That is, something exercised towards the poor, beneficence, or concretely a benefaction, alms or deeds. In the Strong's, the word reward is number 591. It comes from some other words which means to give away. In various applications, it means to deliver again or give again or repay or make payment for, perform or recompense, render, requite, restore, reward, sell or yield. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 6 and verse 1 says, Take care not to do your good deeds publicly or before men in order to be seen by them, otherwise you will have no reward reserved for and awaiting you with and from your Father who is in heaven. In the Message Bible, Matthew 6 and verse 1 says, Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. Jesus never doubted his Father would not recompense, render or restore or reward him. You can have the same experience by making no excuses for disobedience to the Holy Spirit on the narrow way. Without meekness, you'll still be doing dead works. To fulfill his mission on earth, Jesus was praying in secret all the way to the cross, negative experiences to Christ became a source of wisdom because he believed that no situation was unfair or unjust, with his heavenly Father in control. He said that if you follow his example, the Father will reward or recompense you openly for any losses suffered for the sake of righteousness. Hypocrites blowing a trumpet and keeping the letter of the law could not take their reward with them. Jesus was praying for his name to be reverenced, his kingdom to come quickly, and his will to be done and minimize suffering on earth. Jesus never doubted his Father's daily instructions. Jesus got all his meals consistently seeking righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, this is Matthew chapter 6, I'm reading verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The word "seek" in Strong's is number 2212. It's of uncertain affinity. It means to seek, literally or figuratively, specifically to worship God, or in a bad sense, to plot against life, to go about, to desire, to endeavor, inquire for, or seek after by any means. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, "But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. Then all these things taken together will be given you besides." The word "seek" means to aim at or strive, literally or figuratively. Striving after the kingdom with meekness is now possible, as it has been here on the earth for about 2,000 years, since the day of Pentecost, because of what Jesus has done. This is available to everyone. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 19. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14, I'm reading verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Verse 18. "For he that is in these things serves Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men." Verse 19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Carnal Christians believe God looks after those who look after themselves. Paul told the church to pursue those things that make the peace of God, not the peace of the world. Some make peace because they don't want conflict with this world. You need God's peace following Christ. You can find yourself being estranged by those following the devil or departing from the truth. In the Living Bible, Romans 14, 18 and 19 says, "If you let Christ be Lord in these affairs, God will be glad, and so will others." In this way, aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Serving and functioning in his kingdom with peace and joy, even when circumstances change, is visible to God and man. You don't need to blow a trumpet or make a lot of noise to get God's attention. However, the peace of God has to be maintained and developed in circumstances that are not peaceful through repentance from dead works. The sin of omission will cause you to lose your peace. What you fail to do at the right time will cause unnecessary stress later when you are trying to catch up. Your needs will be met by God's all-sufficient grace or a supernatural provision if you are meek and trust and obey the Spirit perfectly. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Verse 2. "I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Verse 3. "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Yoked to Christ, your feelings will be affected, but you will only feel pain when Jesus is going one direction and you resist. Otherwise, the yoke will be easy and the burden light. Laboring the gospel, yoked to Christ, your name will appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will have some enemies following Christ, but if you become very popular in this world, your name may be blotted out. Stand fast, and you'll become the joy and crown of an apostle too. A testimony from my life appears in chapter 1 of the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. My name appeared in the book of an apostle because I did not make any excuses for disobeying what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Aim at God's perfect will for your life, and you will grow in knowledge and wisdom the same way Jesus did. Submit first to God, and then to the one God has sent to help you, and follow instructions. In the Message Bible, Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Those who think they are missing out on something this world has to offer, listen to the devil, just because they have not traveled or seen something. Set a trap for the flesh so that when it tries to take over and initiate something, you can stop it. The flesh is your enemy, self-seeking and always unrighteous. Record the fruit of decisions that you make daily. If you're hearing God, you will not miss divine appointments. Keep a journal and plot against your flesh so that you can repent of dead works. Dead works can be good or even religious. A journal will help provide the evidence that you need to repent of dead works and do God's perfect will instead. Ask God why something was not provided in the way it was before, or you'll be doing more dead works otherwise. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Noah Webster in 1828 defined unrighteousness as injustice, a violation of the divine law, or of the plain principles of justice and equity, wickedness. Unrighteousness may consist of a single unjust act, but more generally, when applied to persons, it denotes a habitual course of wickedness. In the Living Bible, 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says, O dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. If you are constantly doing what is good, it is because you are good, even as he is. But if you keep on sinning, it shows that you belong to Satan, who since he first began to sin, has kept steadily at it. But the Son of God came to destroy these works of the devil. The works of the devil are bad works, but also dead works too, that were not directed by the Holy Spirit. Those who consistently do good under pressure in complicated situations are righteous. There is no excuse for committing any sin. If you are led and controlled by the Spirit seeking righteousness, you will get grace and truth, and with it, be able to improve your ability to hear and obey. Any form of communication is valid when you are seeking His perfect will, but not when you're seeking his permissible will. If you ask the question, am I allowed to do this or that? And it is not contrary to the written word, you will always hear a yes, even when it's still missing God's perfect will. You have to keep listening and not think that the answer, yes, is an okay to do something. If you're in the Spirit, you will ask if there are any conditions and seek a confirmation. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 18, this is in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. For more information on the state-of-the-art communication with God, please read chapter 11 in the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 6:18 says, and having been set free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in thought, purpose, and action. It's possible to be servants of righteousness from the moment you are born again. You can do this seeking his perfect will. You do not have to think about your life if you have received the Holy Spirit. At the point of salvation, you came into the presence of God by grace and received the Holy Spirit when you agreed to repent and obey instantly by faith. You should still be living by faith in what God tells you to do and when. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. You may enter into his presence because you exalt his name and humble yourself like a little child. But if you just call him Lord, you will not stay very long because he is holy. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, it's not grievous, but for you it is safe. Verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The devil wants you to have a confidence in the flesh. Beware of those who offer excuses or a substitute for doing God's perfect will. Anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action is sin. You have to believe lies about God in order to do evil. The root of all sin is a lie that you believe to be the truth for the sake of your flesh. You have received the Spirit of truth as a Christian, so you have to choose lies and ignorance now that you're born again. To sin, you have to reject or resist the Holy Spirit and invite sin by listening to your flesh. Carnal Christians with a confidence in their flesh bark like a dog with excuses when they hear the truth. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, starting in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 2. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Verse 3. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 4. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The word undone in Strong's is number 1820. A primitive root means to be dumb or silent, hence to fail or to perish. Transitively, to destroy or cease or to be cut down or cut off. To destroy or brought to silence, be undone, utterly undone. Beware of politics. Isaiah had unclean lips from talking to others about the situation in Israel after King Uzziah died. Your lips will become unclean talking about what is happening in this world instead of doing what God wants. You will feel undone through the sin of omission when God starts moving powerfully by His Spirit, because you're not ready. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Verse 6. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Everyone should be looking up, getting ready, because Jesus is coming soon. No one is strong enough to overcome temptation in these last days. Do not be confounded. You have to be in the right place at the right time and move quickly from temptation. You should be sober-minded and alert, asking God about everything He gives you eyes to see. Do not process anything with your mind, as you will follow a way that seems right. We live by faith, not by sight. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God's grace is all sufficient for those who are humble, blaming evil in this world and others for your sin is just making excuses and even judging God. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1, Who Are You? On pages 15 and 16, Joseph Edgecott writes, when you are wise and obey what God says, godly fruit begins to manifest. Changes first take place in your attitude towards the Lord. The way you think changes. This is part of the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in you. He changes what you believe, think, and how you act to agree with the Word of God. Typically, those who function from the natural realm begin with a conclusion they believe is the truth. If they find clear scriptures that contradict their belief, their reasoning rejects them. They adjust what the Word of God says to agree with what they have already chosen to believe. This deception is rampant in the church today. Preconceived notions of what is true will deceive you every time. It is the Holy Spirit's job to tell you the truth. You are required to study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2. And verse 15, your natural mind cannot and never will be able to rightly divide the truth. Truth is revealed and confirmed by the Spirit of God. Everything you believe should be confirmed by the Spirit before you release your faith into it. Remember, what you think you know hinders you from knowing what God wants you to know. A small issue can develop into a major issue over time if you use your mind to process anything. You need mercy and truth to work out your salvation. Your heart is already corrupt through your mind trying to come to the truth with wrong priorities. The heart, through listening to lies, needs deep repentance. God understands where you are now and what you need to do next. If you focus on your needs, then your heart will become even more corrupt. Keep a record of wrongdoing and truth, and let God write them on the table of your heart so next time you don't make the same mistake. In the Message Bible, Matthew 6, verse 34 says, "Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." Use a notebook to record what the Lord says. If you are repenting of what He is showing you, then you will grow fast. Your heart needs to know that truth does not come through thinking. Slow down. Spend quality time with God and let the Holy Spirit prepare you for what is coming next. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 27, starting in verse 5. "Open rebuke is better than secret love." Verse 6. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." You may get offended at God when He tells you that you need to repent first. Jesus should be your best friend. The devil will offer you excuses for disobedience to the Holy Spirit and always tell you someone else is the problem. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Verse 12. "For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Those dull of hearing do not escape the prisons of the devil, because they listen more to their own flesh than they do to God." Conviction is always a blessing, and you should see it that way. If not, that is the reason you are dull of hearing. Conviction will lead you to a place where you need to repent. Without this, you will not be ready to hear other things. In the Living Bible, Proverbs 3 and verse 3 says, "Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart." Be loyal to God and never get tired of doing His perfect will. He gives you time to process complicated situations with Jesus' teachings through conviction and will help you get to the root of sin in your own life. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Verse 2. "Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." Verse 3. "And this we will do if God permit." In the book Sound Doctrine, in section 3, Sound Doctrine for the Home, in chapter 14, Husbands Love Your Wives, on pages 167 to 168, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "Let me interject something very important. If you really want to know God, I will give you a key that will help you. To obey what God says is going to require a lot of instructions, and it will require you to ask questions from time to time. When He commands you to do something, you can ask Him any question as long as you don't question Him. That's important. I've learned this the hard way. For you to question God's decision, you have to judge His decision as wrong. For you to have judged His decision as wrong, you had to first put yourself above God, because judgment can only come from above. It never comes from below. That's God's order, whether you intended to be that way or not. God sees it as you having usurped authority over Him. Usurping authority is exactly what caused the fall of man. The original fall began when Satan questioned God in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Adam and Eve listened to Satan questioning God's command rather than obeying what God had said. If God had commanded the angels to do something and they needed more information, they could have asked a question. But Lucifer tried to usurp authority over God. Because of that, he was thrown out of heaven and he came down to earth full of wrath because he lost his high position. God wants you to have a greater understanding. However, if you start questioning God's decisions for your life, then you can't proceed. God loves you. He knows what your sin is and that it will separate you from his presence and experiencing his love. He will not let you continue when you are dull of hearing. You can be resisting conviction in ministry when you've received doctrines taught in the church. Paul was writing to the Jews, and they had, number one, the doctrine of baptisms and what is required to follow Christ. Number two, a ministry with the laying on of hands and deliverance. Number three, a knowledge of the resurrection of the living and the dead. Number four, a knowledge of eternal judgment and the Lamb's Book of Life being opened at the end. The church in Jerusalem started well, but after persecution started, went backwards spiritually, judging God when their circumstances did not change. Having a preconceived notion about God is like an accident waiting to happen. It's a scratch on the surface trying to heal. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 11. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10, neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The Jews could have learned their lesson in 40 days, but the journey got longer and longer because they listened to their own ideas of right and wrong instead. They did not repent of dead works. If you make excuses for your sin, it may take you weeks or months to come to the truth. Without forgiveness of sin, hurts and wounds that come from others will not heal. A wound to heal just needs quality time to repent with God, not deliverance. Become like a little child. Do not compare yourself with anyone else. If you judge, then you will lose your connection to God and never get healed. If you listen to lies, you will end up tempting God. Grace to hear diminishes the more you procrastinate. Paul continued in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Pride causes you to fall from grace. Thinking is dangerous. Idols are those things that you have made more important than your relationship with God. You need quality time with God to process conviction correctly. God will allow a certain amount of pressure to expose a weak or corrupt foundation. Taking up your cross daily and denying yourself will expose excuses. There are no excuses for disobeying God, but there are reasons. You will not identify those reasons with your mind. Reasons can be removed through repentance, so there are no more reasons. So you do need conviction. The idols in your life will be areas where you do not believe God is faithful. We read in Acts chapter 20, verses 18 to 19. This is in the book of Acts chapter 20. I'm reading verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. His kingdom is here now by the Spirit, and Paul did not need to fight the Jews. He just needed meekness or humility of mind to win. Paul had a meeting with the leaders from Ephesus. He told them how he never did anything by consulting his own will. The devil sets a trap daily for those who are mature sons and daughters, but God delivers them by telling them what to do and not do. Paul was speaking to leaders from Ephesus who eventually lost their first love. If you cannot overcome temptation easily, then you do not have a spiritual education. You will stop or be severely hindered following Christ. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. There is still time to learn what it means to stay humble and not just humble yourself when there's a problem. During the last hour of temptation of your life, or when Jesus appears, there will be extra grace for those who are humble. Everyone in this world will experience a period of temptation at the end. So get ready. Have you fallen asleep, or are you preparing for that hour? Those obeying the flesh at critical moments again and again, serving two masters, will become castaways at the end. The lukewarm will lose their eternal reward for the sake of some temporal gain or comfort if they do not become like a little child. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, verse 24 and 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, or what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Your mind was not designed to think about your own well-being. You were created to follow Christ. You are the one destroying the life and peace you could enjoy every day by thinking. Jesus is Lord of all, and he has to be Lord of what you think about. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? The word foolish in Strong's is number 453. It comes from another word meaning unintelligent, by implication, sensual, foolish or unwise. Your flesh will be circumcised in complicated situations as you follow Christ, so you don't need circumcision. The Galatians have become weary doing what the Holy Spirit was directing them to do and did not like being treated like a criminal. Paul called the Galatians foolish or bewitched because they started following Christ and experienced his grace in the face of some Jewish persecution when they started. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and reading to verse 19. This is Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. The true body of Christ should be forming around you by now. You should have the aroma of Christ. Those who are religious, who don't want to follow Christ, will avoid you. Those who love Christ will love you. Paul experienced the operation of God giving him answers daily by the Spirit while he was part of the body. If any part of the body does not get signals from the brain all the time, it will die. You cannot claim to be alive and part of Christ's body using your mind to make decisions. Paul was not like some person in hospital that was barely alive, seeking a miracle cure or more power, like those seeking a breakthrough today in the body of Christ. He had the example of the cross and chose to do nothing to help himself when treated like a criminal, unless the Spirit led him. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to verse 18. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Verse 13. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? Verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Verse 16. having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Verse 17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Verse 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. If you want a long life, listen to your own lips. You should be rejoicing all the time. You can have the same relationship with the Father by taking up your cross daily and denying yourself consistently. Jesus was treated like a criminal, but raised from the dead by the Father because he never sinned. God's resurrection power will energize anyone on the narrow way, living the Spirit-led life. The kingdom of God has been here for 2,000 years to ensure by the Spirit that everyone who wants to know his perfect will for their lives can. If your heart is troubled in these last days, you are on the limit of what you can handle spiritually. Sanctify him in your heart. Keep quiet. Eschew evil until you are ready to handle more. In the Living Bible, 1 Peter 3:15 to 18 says, quietly trust yourself to Christ, your Lord. And if anybody asks why you believe as you do, be ready to tell him and do it in a gentle and respectful way. Do what is right. Then if men speak against you, calling you evil names, they will become ashamed of themselves for falsely accusing you when you have only done what is good. Remember, if God wants you to suffer, it's better to suffer for doing good than for doing wrong. Christ also suffered. He died once for the sins of all us guilty sinners, although he himself was innocent of any sin at any time, that he might bring us safely home to God. But though his body died, his spirit lived on. The word ashamed in verse 16 is translated as confounded elsewhere in the King James Bible. If you believe anything is unfair or unjust, you already believe lies. You will come out of the Spirit to do something and be confounded for the sake of your flesh. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 22 to 25. This is in the book of Acts chapter 9, starting verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Verse 24. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Paul, from the very beginning, repented of dead religious works and started speaking the truth. He could no longer keep quiet, and the plan of God for him started soon after his conversion because he repented deeply. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4, verses 15 to 19. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him, in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. You need fruit of repentance from dead works, or you will be confounded by sin reappearing. Sin grows back if repentance is shallow or missing. It's just a matter of time. You will suffer as a murderer or a busybody in other men's affairs. Keep listening to the Lord. You can be at rest, doing God's perfect will all the time. if you suffer along the way for righteousness' sake, that is not something to be sad about. A wrong attitude to the fear of suffering can cause you to go backwards and not forwards. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Verse 2. He answered them and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Verse 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather. Today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Jesus called the religious Jews blind because they could not see that grace was running out for the whole nation of Israel. The church, seeking signs of the times, is wicked and adulterous today. They will be confounded because they are not repentant about using their own minds to be Lord of their own lives. At the point of salvation, you should have, number one, repented of dead works, not just bad works. Number two, being convinced there is nothing good in you. Number three, accepted God's offer of forgiveness and mercy, with him making the decisions by the Spirit. Number four, started working out your salvation in fear and trembling with the conviction of the Spirit. You were snatched from the fire after getting a clear view of hell yourself. If you do not repent deeply, you'll end up on a way that seems right again and get a second look at hell again. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Those seeking righteousness are harmless. They do not react. A sudden change of circumstances is not an issue for them. By faith, God will do his good pleasure through all those who believe, even when sin is abounding and this world is passing away. If you are working out your salvation, make no excuses for sin, and you will find grace on the narrow way. You will get more time to repent and learn the lessons you need to learn as well. In the Message Bible, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 says, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust towards God. Baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. God helping us will stay true to all of that, but there's so much more. So let's get on with it. Repentance from dead works, not bad works, is the cure for the delays in your life. It is the reason you are confounded. Conviction is not there to torment you, but to lead you to a place of repentance from dead works and faith in God at the center. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Verse 6. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Verse 7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. The word reprobate in Strong's is number 96. It comes from some other words which means unapproved, that is, rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally, cast away, rejected or reprobate. You will become a reprobate if you do not repent of dead works. You'll become worthless, literally and morally. How can you help anyone else if you've not repented of dead works? You can have a great knowledge of the Bible, with it still be a reprobate. Paul knew that he could be replaced by anyone less gifted than himself because he was not willing to trust God with all his heart. He was open for conviction. Paul continued in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8, and reading to verse 14. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and reading verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Verse 12. Greet one another with an holy kiss. Verse 13. All the saints salute you. Verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Perfection is possible by obeying the Spirit perfectly. There is good comfort and bad comfort in the faith. You should be getting closer to being controlled and led by the Spirit. If, for example, you have prayed what time to get up and get up after that time, you know you miss the Lord. Staying in bed for the sake of your flesh is bad comfort. If you went to bed after your bedtime, then you know you missed it somewhere doing dead works. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, and reading verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Verse 7. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. The word confounded in Strong's is number 2617. It comes from some other words which means to shame down, that is, disgrace, or by implication put to the blush, confound, dishonour, or be made to shame or shamed. If you do not empty yourself, you will be confounded. What you think you know will hinder what you need to know on the narrow way every day. Do not follow theories. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19, nevertheless the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. Let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. Verse 21, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Endurance and suffering are part of the gospel. His grace is sufficient for everything we pass through. God is no respecter of persons. You are the one who determines whether you are a vessel of honour or dishonour. Look at what God is using you for now. If he cannot use you for much, start to purge yourself from being used in a less honourable way by passing your test. Joseph Hedgecock would say, everything comes to pass. If you learn the lessons in the trials you're going through, they will go away. Study the word of truth and endure conviction and correction you receive so that God can approve you for a more honourable task in the body of Christ. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 19. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou says, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Never adjust what Jesus said to fit your private interpretation of Scripture, or you'll be confounded. Those who have a confidence in the flesh are blind spiritually, and God will use them, if they're a child of God, for ignoble use only. If you have lost the presence of God, you need to be zealous and repent. There is a sin of commission and the sin of omission. You are not working out your salvation if you're doing things for the sake of your flesh. You have to use your faith in God, not earthly wisdom, to solve everyday problems. Faith is simply trusting God that he is trustworthy to do what he says he will do for you in complicated situations. You can ask him questions, but not question God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace, unmerited favour of God given to me, I warn every man among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. You may humble yourself when convicted, and then immediately afterwards try to come to the right answer using your mind. that habit needs to be broken. That will put you back in the flesh. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, starting verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Verse 24. "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Verse 25. "For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or become a castaway?" You cannot repent of dead religious works by using your mind to make the right decisions. The flesh will always make the wrong decision because it is self-seeking. And you will be confounded. Lean to your own understanding. It's not trusting God with all your heart. You must be prepared to throw away all that you've learned and start again. This looks foolish in the natural. But if you do this, then you are like Christ, who emptied himself of all he knew and submitted himself to his Father. This world and the church, conformed to this world, believes that you do not have to lose your whole life to save it. If you ever come to a conclusion that contradicts what Jesus taught, you have a confidence in the flesh and believe lies. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 27 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, reading verse 27. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Verse 28. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Verse 29. "And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life." Verse 30. "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Those resisting conviction are resisting the only means to come to truth by the Spirit. Use the notebook described in chapter 2 of the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1. You will record in your notebook what you do under pressure, the bad fruit that appears following Christ God can use to show you the root of sin. Each step to the root of sin will involve some more conviction. Those who can just hear God and do what he says will be first in everything. Do not be confounded. You cannot add to what God said by thinking. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Verse 8. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, by whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Verse 9. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Not everyone is going to get the same reward. There is a crown for giving up what you cannot keep, following Christ. Do not deceive yourself with the rewards you obtain in this life that you cannot take with you. Those who cannot let go and let God will be confounded. Some things are given to us so that others can see Christ means more to us than anything else. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Psalm 22, verses 3 to 5 says, "But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place, where the praise of Israel offered. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, leaned on, relied on you, and were confident, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in, leaned on, and confidently relied on you, and were not ashamed or confounded or disappointed." You may not get the time needed to lose everything for following Christ, but make sure you're not holding on to anything in this world that is temporal. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Jesus believed that it was impossible to lose with the Father in charge. Now, through the obedience of the Spirit, those who want to obey can. Others will be confounded and keep doing dead religious works. You only need to obey yourself. You will lose the opportunity to live a noble life, serving God, listening to your flesh. The sooner you start following Christ, the better. It's not possible to serve two masters. You either serve God by obedience to the Spirit or the devil through your carnal, natural mind. God is giving you the choice. Thinking is dangerous. We are nothing without Him. You were created for a purpose. He did not reveal that purpose to your mind when you came to the earth so that you could mess it up. Only by staying humble consistently and getting His all-sufficient grace can you achieve that purpose. God gave you a measure of faith so that you can release this into Him and not other things. Faith in God is asking God. He knows the plan and how faith works, and it's applied correctly. Every child of God has the same amount of faith so that they could develop a relationship like Christ that He had with His Father and get similar results, releasing it in the truth. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit, daily experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted, heaven this way. And many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you've resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Those in the church serving two masters want to hear blessing, blessing, when there is no blessing. They do not want to hear there is a price to pay for following Christ. You will not lose anything that's eternal following Christ. You will lose just temporal things that you cannot take with you anyway. If you are conformed to this world with the wrong priorities, now is the time to rescue your own soul. Everyone needs to lose his soul to gain it. If you feel confounded, you can make a fresh start any time. You need complete brokenness to God's perfect will, not just another patch over some self-centered wounds doing more dead religious works. If this message is spoken to you today and you realize that, yes, I've been confounded, it's only those things within that are causing that, those desires and lusts that you've never dealt with. They're still there, and they're going to keep growing back as long as there's still dead works that you keep doing. And their only solution is repentance. You need to take time, and you need to be prepared to invest in finding the very root of sin. That takes time, but the Holy Spirit will show you where you have become offended at God and you've decided a better way. If this message is spoken to you, let me pray with you right now, and I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to help and assist you so that you can come to repentance at the root. Father, I know that your people who are listening to this message right now, they've heard what you said. You have spoken to them of the fact that they have been lazy and not relied on the Holy Spirit for everything. And that, Father, you've been speaking to them about the fact that they have missed appointments and, Father, things have happened in their life. But, Father, I pray right now that they will forget all that and come to you and submit to you and be honest about the fact that sin is growing back. And that they can do something about it. They can repent deeply, whereas they haven't repented deeply before. Father, I pray you give them special grace, that they will give them a fresh start so that they can get to the root of sin. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below this video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.